context of the workplace or the time that we spend most of our lives in, right? Is this mic okay? Yeah, okay. We're switching some stuff around, so bear with us. This is important because we as leadership and the body are not clergy. Like, we don't really have, even though we just announced a ministry director, a lot of what we do is not that normal clergy type work where we're paying a guy and they're going to go out into the world and they're going to visit the sick. They're going to go and do the hard things that, well, I have a full-time job, so I just don't have time for. So we're going to talk through what the structure of the church is biblically and how we kind of differentiate what we do here and at Life Group versus what we do in every other time in our life. Because the reality is that we, in this body, and even in leadership, we're employees, we're self-employed, we're business owners, or just in the world, right? We could be retired. We could have the job of a full-time parent. So we're talking about all of those things, and just if you don't like the word workplace, just say every other time in our life. So because of this fact, we need to be conscious about our time at work and how we are leading people and carrying ourselves in the knowledge of Jesus through our lives. Okay, so if you wouldn't mind, let's open up. We're going to be in a couple different scriptures today. Primarily, we're going to be in Ephesians 4 and 5, but then we're going to hop over into some scripture in Hebrews as well. So I'd love for you guys to follow along because I'm going to attempt, so give me grace, my version of a verse by verse. So bear with me, okay?
Okay, Rory.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So Ephesians 4, and we're going to start in verse 11 through 16. And he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ. In verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Okay, so let's break that down. So the first thing is this shared leadership model. So let's talk in church context for a second. This shared leadership model, some people call it the fivefold ministry. And what the fivefold ministry are, those five different things of what Jesus gave: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay? So now some churches, they literally try to go out and find a evangelist, a pastor, a apostle, all of these. Like, we need five of these guys and they're going to lead the church. How we take that is the purpose of the leadership of this church, admin and elders, is to allow for all five of these to work in perfect leadership for the equipping of the saints. So what I mean by that is the church, the purpose of you being here is to be equipped to minister the gospel. And I think where the churches that at least I came from, the goal was to do tithes so that we can pay a pastor and they minister, and I just go to work to do the money side. But that's not what the Lord has called us into. He has commissioned these giftings in the context of church for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. Okay? So church is not necessarily where discipleship happens. Right? It's through the saints being equipped by Jesus, right? We're just vessels for Jesus to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So there's just a little bit of a differentiating factor to this. Okay, so that's verse 11. So let's now break down what is the work of the ministry in verse 11. So the goal of discipling within the concept of the church is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And again, to reiterate, which means the clergy are not here to do the work of the ministry. It's for the people in the chairs. It's for the people flipping burgers and for most of this room here in construction or an adjacent trade. It's at the post office, right? It's wherever the Lord has us. That's the work of the ministry. And we say it in our covenant every week, and that's part of why we did that, is that we are all agreeing by you being in Restoration Fellowship and saying, this is my family. You're agreeing every week in our covenant that I see my profession as my calling to minister the gospel. You guys remember saying that every week? I want you guys to, as we're saying that, we started doing that together in January as a church so that we have something that we can carry and say, I agree with this and you agree with this. And we have something in common that we're working the ministry together in our professions. So we are the ones to do the work of the ministry as the whole body of Christ. And that's why this model of shared leadership is so important. Every person that you see up here has a full-time job in some form or fashion. We are not, like I don't spend any hours at the church. Justin doesn't spend any hours at the church. But we are here as part of you. This is just our gifting right now. Like we're saying, okay, we recognize the gifting of teaching, and so we're going to use that not as I am better than you, but saying I am here to minister, to equip for you to minister and for me to minister. I'm sitting there as well. Are we following? Okay, so next, let's get into edifying. So verse 12, for the equipping of the saints and the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ in verse 12. So when we gather, let us edify. Let me pause because that is, Breezy reminded me yesterday that edifying is kind of a church word. And I want to make it not a church word for a second. So edifying is when we come alongside one another and lift one another up. Because we all carry those burdens, right? We all walk in, and sometimes we have a bad week, but I got to put on a Christian face when I walk into church. No, no, no. No, you don't. This is not the place for that. However, if you walk in every week downtrodden, maybe let's have a discussion. But this is a place to be real. Said, man, I had a rough week. Man, I had a great week. Let me edify you. Let me lift you up for a moment, whether it's through the prophetic words or an encouraging thing of, you're doing great. I see this in your life. I saw you at the job site last week, and I saw you were a little frustrated, but you held it together where maybe last week you would have lost it. Great job this week. So the edifying is where we come together, and there has to be truth and honesty in order for edification or the uplifting of one another, putting yourself under someone to lift them up. Does that make sense? It's not saying, this is all of the accomplishments that I did this week. It's saying, I am going to come under you and say, the Lord has something for you in your life. So we go through these things, the prophecy, pastoring, the apostolic, or the testimony of evangelism. That's something huge. Guys, if you need a testimony of evangelism, just talk to Stan and Linda Gill. They'll tell you all the stuff that happened this week. But that testimony is important because that's the edification of the saints. Of man, if Stan Gill can do that on the streets of Pagosa, why not me? Right? So as we speak the testimony of what's happening, then that stirs one another in edification to say, I'm in. Let's do it. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14 real quick. And I know we just got out of being in this verse every single week. We're just going to dip back into it. And then probably again, because it's so good. So 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 3, it says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation to comfort men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, which is good. It's good to have an edification of self. But he who prophesies edifies the whole body. It edifies the church. I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. And so right now, we just established one of the fivefold ministry. The whole goal of prophecy is not to edify the prophet, it's to edify the body. Right? So when there's a word that comes forth, We say, I'm going to grab onto that edification. I'm going to test it by the Spirit, and I'm going to allow it to spur me on to greater works. Does that make sense? Okay. So when we hear this, when we hear the prophetic words, we say we're going to test these by the Spirit, and we're going to move on. Right? We're not going to hold that thing of, well, that one guy, that prophet Joe at church, he said this would happen, so I'm going to put all of my hope in that. No, no, no. The edification of the church is that the hope is in Jesus. So when we do this, walk in your gifting, but know that the whole hope is of Jesus. So the writer of Hebrews, and let's turn now to Hebrews 10. The writer of Hebrews, guys, I love the book of Hebrews because it's a book written to a persecuted church, and they're going through it. They still gotta make a living. So not only do they still gotta show up to work every day, but then they have people trying to kill them because of their faith in Jesus. Okay, so let's just get into that mindset real quick of you're fine. You got an okay life, right? You got to go to your job. That's the worst thing that can happen. At least they're not trying to kill you. So he's writing to this church to say, hey, I know what's happening. I know you got this going on. But in Hebrews 10, in verse 24, and it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So what he's saying here is, hey, I know it's rough. I know you got it going on. And I know a lot of people are just hiding away saying, hey, it's probably safer for me and my family if I just don't gather anymore. But he's saying, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves, because that's where edification of the body happens. So as we see, and I don't know if you guys are on this train, but I believe that we are one day closer to the day coming than we were yesterday. Can everyone agree on that? Okay, 100% agree. Today, we're way closer to the day approaching than yesterday. And so as the days are approaching, it says that we increase the gathering for the edification of ourselves so that we can go out there and get work done. The work of the ministry. And again, I'm just going to insert in this real quick, is that when we say church, we're not just talking about Sunday morning. I'm also talking about life group. And if you guys are not involved in a life group, guys, you are missing out on so much life. Life happens in life group. The edification of the body happens in life group. Why? Because we have just a little bit more intimate context to say, hey, I missed you, right? If you are not to the place where you're getting missed in a church context, there's something wrong, right? Because the Spirit stirs up unification. So I would just leave that with you. If you're not involved in a life group, definitely do it. So as we're unified, so this is the edification. We're here to edify one another in the context of church. The next is unifying. The other goal of this directive in Ephesians is to have unity in the Spirit and then maturity of the faith, to know him more. So this context of church is to get edified from the giftings and then go out and to use them to make disciples. Amen? To be unified in spirit, Ephesians 5. So we're just going to hop right over to the next chapter in Ephesians. And in Ephesians 1, it just starts out there. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And so we are imitators of Christ to be disciples and then submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord in verse 21. Of 5, submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord. So this unifying aspect is saying, all right, we're gathering, we're edifying one another. Then the next thing is I am submitted to you and you're submitted to me. And we are submitted to one another because Christ is the head of the church. And in the fear of the Lord. So that means that when we speak to one another, it's in that fear of the Lord that we, and what the fear of the Lord is, we're going to talk about it in a few weeks. But what the fear of the Lord is us separating from God through unholy things. Not walking in the way that he's called us to walk separates us from him, because he came to die and cover those things that separate him. But guess what, guys? We can choose to walk away. I don't know if you knew that or not. We can choose to live in our sin. But when we're unified in the fear of the Lord, we're saying, my sin is bare before my brothers and yours before me, because there is nothing that is in secret. Because we want to be unified to submit, to be imitators of Christ. Okay, so the next portion is truth. Another portion of this scripture, and this is in 15. So let's keep going. We're just moving down Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. So in 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We just talked about that, right? He's the head of the church. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. Okay, so a truth here is that if we are all body parts, guess what? If my pinky is not working, like the whole body knows about it, right? This little thing right here, if this is hurting, my whole body's hurting. All I can think about is this, or my fingernail. If I hit my finger, oh gosh. I just think about it, and it consumes me. So it's every single one of you sitting in the seats. You have a job, and if you're not working in the way that God has called you to do, then the body's not working. So the call of the truth, and this is the hard one, right, is that we call one another higher. So this idea of not to be children tossed to and fro by the trickery of men, and what that means is that if we're rooted and grounded in truth, we're not children in the sense of immaturity, okay? And we're going to talk about two different children right now. And I know this is a lot, guys. There's like three sermons in here. So you have the children that is immaturity, but you also have be imitators of God as children. So which is the wonderment and the faith that children have. So we need to separate those two things out real quick. Of we have the wonderment and faith, be children. But then we have this other thing of don't be children in the immaturity aspect. Okay? Are we clear? Okay. So we have this, don't be rooted in that way. To just be swayed by whatever whim of men, by whatever political figure or pastor or teacher that is going in the wrong direction that the scriptures has. Be rooted and grounded in this. So what we're here to do as Restoration Fellowship leadership is saying, we're going to give you every tool that we have to give you, but then guess what? You got to pick this up. You have to be ones that are seekers of truth, to be rooted and grounded in the word, to not be children. There's another place that it talks about this idea, and it's in Hebrews 5. And you guys don't have to turn there. I'm just going to turn there real quick. But Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, or full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay? So our job in bringing truth to this body is not to say, hey, wait for Sundays and hear whatever truth is spoken. It's saying, take the truth into your own hands and get obsessed with the word. Right? Because if we say something that is not biblical, boom, I know that that's not true. Or, hallelujah, brother, I saw that in the scripture and I know that you're speaking the truth. And so as we're establishing this, do not wait till Sunday. Do not wait for someone who you feel is more skilled. You are ready right now. Guess, do you know why? Can anyone guess? I just need to, anybody? The Holy Spirit. Because we have the Holy Spirit, you can do greater things than me. Talking about Jesus, and this is one of them, that by the word, he allows the Spirit to say, this is truth. And we'll know it because we're in it. We know the word. We know Jesus by the Spirit. And so I'm telling you guys, you don't need a theology degree to pick up the word and to read it. But I will tell you, when you invite the Holy Spirit in, it will change your life forever. It's like, Rory, I don't have the attention span. Guys, I barely made it through high school. I was there half the time. But when I got out of high school, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, give me a hunger for your word. And guys, I turned into this fiend. Like, I couldn't get enough. I had to read it. And I was reading words that I didn't know, but the Spirit was saying in my spirit what the truth was. It's crazy what will happen when you just say yes to the Lord in the Scriptures. The second part of this idea of truth is not an easy one. Because truth, and if we're submitted, so with this context, we're submitted to one another in love, edifying one another in unity, we must then learn to speak truth. Dang. And guys, the amount of times in my life where people have come up to me because of this principle that I am submitted under you in love, that means I trust you, that means that I'm approachable in correction. And it says, Rory, this part of your life is not okay. And my job is to say, you just spoke truth to me. I'm going to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, what is there in this truth that I need to change? Even if we don't like it, or we have all the excuses. So for what I'm saying to you in the context of church, if someone comes up to you and say, hey, this might be a little off, or you might be a little this or a little that, instead of saying, well, you don't know what they said to me. Or you don't know this thing in my life. I had a really hard week and I said some bad things. I get that. But the truth is, you're a son and a daughter of God, and you're called to be higher as we're submitting to one another. And so instead of using the excuses, say, thank you, brother, for bringing this to my life. Because guess what, guys? A lot of times, and this is the assumption that I've started to have in my mind, a lot of times, if we don't tell someone, they don't know. Rory, they gotta know. They don't. I don't, right? If no one tells me, how will I know? Amen? So that takes the confidence of you, whoever it is sitting in the chair, saying, man, I saw Rory out in the grocery store. He stubbed his toe and he said the F word. Whoa, what? I thought no one heard. But they said, Rory, I saw that, and that's not a good thing to show believers. Dang it. You're right. And that leads to, I'm going to repent to you as my brother, and I'm going to repent before the Lord when the Holy Spirit convicts, right? Our job is not, I'm not saying that this truth thing is our job to convict. Our job is to bring the truth that we see, and it's out of our hands. We walk away and allow the Holy Spirit to convict, and that's it. That's the hard thing to do. So my encouragement in summary of this portion of our message of discipleship in the church is that this is a place of equipping, and that's who we are as Restoration Fellowship, that we gather, we equip, and we commission disciples of Jesus. That's our mission. Did everyone know that? I'm going to say it again. Our mission of Restoration Fellowship is to gather, equip, and commission disciples of Jesus to go out into the world. There's nothing in our mission to say, we're going to bring everybody here and we're just going to shut the doors. And we're all going to get healthy. That's a part of it. We're going to restore the people that God has given us. We're going to restore ourselves to the Spirit. But then we're going to go out, because if we are just inlets and not outlets, we will die. Gather, equip, and commission the saints, the disciples of Jesus. So I'm going to give you a couple of kind of summaries here. Number one, be consistent in the gathering of the saints. You should be engaged to the level where you miss something, so life group or church, people should wonder where you are and miss you. If you're not being missed, you're not being vulnerable. And I'm just going to say that. The lie of the enemy is those people don't care about you. But the truth of God is, as you bear yourself to one another, you will be missed. And that's a vulnerable thing. And for those people that are still going, make sure you miss people. And if you're not in the place, I'm going to switch that around. If you're not in the place where you miss someone because you're so focused on what you're bringing to the table or how people are going to view you, snap out of it. You're there to edify one another. Pay attention to what is happening. Be engaged in worship and in the word and in serving. Again, guys, I'm gonna say this over and over and over. Nobody's looking at you. We walk in the door, and because of our shame, we say, oh my gosh, I saw Mark, he looked at me sideways, and he knew that I said the F word in the grocery store. He's not looking at you, except in love, right? We're not here to say, oh man, that guy messed up this week, I can't even believe he's here. That's the lie from the pit of hell. Walk in and be engaged. We are here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in a unified church as one body, working together, every joint, working how it's supposed to work. Get involved, not for the sake of this organization, but for the sake of your walk in the body. When you say yes to serving, even if it's welcoming, I'm just going to shout out Emily. She got convicted last week when Renee said, where's your yes? She said, I've missed it. I'm on welcome team. Get involved, because then the Holy Spirit can come in and touch where needs to kind of be shifted around a little bit. Number three, receive freely and give freely. Be bold in this safe place to walk out your giftings. This is the place to practice prophecy. Life group is a place to practice prophecy. Practice your giftings in this place so that when you go out, you're fully equipped to engage with the world. Okay. Let's move on to discipleship in the workplace. So, I started my first job at 10 years old, and I haven't stopped since. I love work. I love business. I am an entrepreneur. And if any of you guys know me, I can't sit still. And so this aspect of workplace has been my life, even though there's been ministry alongside it. The Lord has been so gracious to in my life to say, hey, you can both minister and you can also work a lot and also be a family man that raises their kids well. There's all of these truths that can be equally true if we don't have the world's view about it. So most of us spend the majority of our time at work. I don't know if you knew that, but that's where we spend most of our time in our core years. And we need to make it count. So let's pop over to Ephesians 5. And in verse 17, and in my Bible, the kind of title of this portion of the scripture is Walking in Wisdom. See then, in verse 15, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So, and I wrote this out in NLT in your notes as well, of what circumspectly is to be careful. Walk carefully, because the times are limited and they're evil. So make sure that we're walking and we're being intentional, not just showing up, clocking in, clocking out. Whew, glad that's done. Guys, what he's calling us into is do not waste your time at work by not doing the will of the Lord. There is no doubt that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and our lives are meant to preach the good news of the gospel, to live that life that is like Jesus. And he is full of joy, and he's full of peace, but he's also holy, righteous, and just. Okay? So this thing of Jesus, of that we think, and I think a lot of times the world thinks this, is if to be like Jesus is to be kind and to be soft and quiet. That's part of it. He is full of love, full of peace, full of joy. But guys, if you read the gospel, he has this other side of him where he's holy, he's righteous, and he's just. Right? He didn't use, once you got with him, once you got in the club, he wasn't always kind. What? Jesus wasn't kind? Guys, he was truthful, and sometimes that feels kind because it hurts our feelings. And I get that. But when we encounter the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we need to walk in all of it. We need to receive his holiness because he's holy. We need to receive his love because he's love. We need to receive his righteousness because he's righteous. Nothing that we do, but all of who he is, we take on when we walk into work. How do we do that? We want to be a people that everyone wants on their team because we're so good at our jobs, because through the Spirit, we're wise and we're efficient. Doing everything is unto the glory of the Lord in Colossians 3:23. So we set up this idea of I'm going to walk into work and I'm going to be who Jesus called me to be, but that doesn't mean to be less than. That means when I negotiate contracts that I'm not destroying the other person, but I'm also not giving up a righteous and good contract. Whoa, how do you do that? How are you a good deal maker without destroying somebody else? Through the Spirit. We start engaging with the Spirit to say, Lord, how do you view this person that I'm negotiating with across the table? How do you view the subcontractor that didn't show up when they said they were going to show up? You have hard conversations, but you make sure to see the person. You're good at what you do. So show up to work and make sure they're like, man, that guy went on my team. I don't know what it is. And we can point to Jesus. Dude, I got anger problems, but Jesus has set me free. And now I speak life and truth, and I still get the work done. I love that. I have in our construction company, mostly non-Christians, and we have our catchphrase, which is keep the edge. And I made these stickers. It's got like a skull and swords. It's like super manly. And then I have on there Colossians 3:23, and I'm seeing these non-Christian guys that have said no to me asking to pray for them, and they got this sticker plastered on everything. And one day, the Spirit is going to break in, and they're going to see that verse, and they're going to wonder what it is. It's little things like that, that if we walk in our lives and say, hey, I'm going to encounter where you are, and the hardcore music, and the skull, and the swords, and I'm going to say, do everything. Die to yourself. Do everything as unto the Lord. And people will start to hear and recognize the Spirit in us. We must be in a place of rest to disciple properly. Okay? So let's move into this real quick. And guys, we're almost out of time. And if you'll bear with me, I really want to get through a couple of things. Is that okay? Okay. So let's talk about being in a place of rest. So God calls us in many times throughout the scripture. He literally put it as one of the Ten Commandments to Sabbath, to say, hey, make sure you tithe your time out of the 7 days, work six, rest one, because I want my people to be in a place of rest. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, in the NLT, I love this version, and it's actually not in the modern version. Breezy's got an older version, and it says it so perfectly, and I wrote it on your notes. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle. And you will find rest for your souls. And this is my favorite part. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. It fits perfectly. So in this, what does it mean to have a place of rest, to be in an attitude of rest, to walk into work? It's in the obedience to the King of Kings. It's he's saying, I have a yoke that fits you perfectly, and there are things in your life, there's things in your work and in your family and in your relationships that are too heavy to carry. Sometimes your workload is too heavy to carry, but if you just say, Lord, I don't have the mind, I don't have the money, I don't have the skill to do this thing that is in front of me, I'm going to surrender it to you. And what that does not mean is to abandon your work. What that does mean is allow Jesus, even at work, and maybe more importantly, especially at work, to have his wisdom, to have his mind and his work ethic to accomplish the things that are in front of us. And that's what rest looks like, is daily. And guys, it's like, my life is crazy. I'm going 1,000 different directions at any given time. But if I focus every day, I wake up, I get into the Word, I listen to the Father, I say, Lord, speak to me. These are the hard things that I have on my plate today, and there's no way I can do it. I'm going to give them to you, and I would rather have the yoke that fits perfectly. Can you picture that for a second? We have this wooden yoke that you're yoked to something else, right? It's for two oxen to pull a plow. Jesus is on one side, and he said, I have specially made this with this special carving that fits your shoulders perfectly, and it's just like a glove. And I have made it for you, and all you got to do is ask me for it. And I will give you rest. And so when we walk into our work from a place of rest, because guys, I get it. When I ask people about their lives, especially here, right? The biggest brag for a construction guy here is I have more work than I know what to do with. Stop it. Because what you're doing is you're bragging about the busyness of life, and God has no room to move. I'm telling you guys, the amount of times he doesn't just multiply food, he multiplies time. When we say, God, I will give you my work today. He will multiply your time. He will multiply your efforts, and he will multiply your money, your food, whatever you need. But if you say, man, I'm just so busy, I have no room. And what you're saying is I have no room for the Lord. So the common answers of how are you is I'm tired, I'm busy. This is the talk of the world. And I'm guilty of it, guys. There are times in my life where I say these things and God has tore into my heart and saying, stop it. So let's go to Hebrews 4 real quick. And I'm going to start winding this down. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Then in verse 11, same in 4. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience, right? Not doing what God has called you into by saying, my worldly mind is saying I can't do it. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. Here we go with the joints thing again. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we give account. And so this call to rest, and what rest brings is we say yes to the Lord, saying, God, you have given me this job in front of me, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and I'm going to do it till the end. Be good workers, y'all. Be the guys that everyone wants on their team, so that when you speak the truth, say, man, I want what that guy's got. I'll say this, guys. Rest turns into peace. And I'm not a peaceful guy. If you guys know me in real life, like I'm high energy. I like to do a lot of stuff. I like to push. I like to prod. But when I go on business trips to Houston or Oklahoma City for my work, the number one thing that I have gotten when I am walking in the spirit is, dude, you're so peaceful. What? I'm surprised. I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, I don't know, something about you, like you, there's just peace on you. And what I know to be true is that's nothing. That is nothing of me. And that's the spirit crying out to their spirit to say, enter my rest, because I will give you peace. And so when we do that, when we have rest, it turns into peace, and the peace turns into light, because we are the salt and light of the earth. Do we agree with that? As we encounter the Father, as we look upon his face, we become light and life. And salt is not only that thing that flavors, but it's that thing that preserves. Thank you. It's a preserver. And that's what we are. We are to be a preserver. And I put some more things on there. I put some things, a call to your parents, to you parents. So we have the work thing. Let's talk about the parent thing. My goal and Breezy's goal in life is that people know that we love Jesus by our kids. They're not perfect. We're not perfect. But my goal is when they say, man, your kid, there's something different about your kids. And that's the spirit of the Lord crying out to them. And so parents, set up, make sure that you're discipling your kids so that when they get a job, they're almost where they need to be. I think my parents did that really well, that when I walked into the job, there was a lot of things that I knew because of my mom and dad. And that's my goal for my boys, as they walk into work, people recognize a spirit inside of them because of us discipling our three little ones. I wrote some practicals on discipling at work. Just get into it, guys. Ask about people's spiritual walk. Everybody's spiritual, they'll answer that question. Use the scripture in daily talk, and then all of a sudden, one day, when the Spirit calls them forth and they're reading the word, like, man, I remember Rory used to say that all the time. I didn't realize that it was Jesus that was saying it. That's why it was so impactful. So read down that. All right, let's hop down to conclusion. Again, you are salt and light of the earth. And so our job, we don't talk about, there's a lot of people that ask us, especially during election years, of, hey, why don't you talk about more about politics from the pulpit? Oh, that's a hard one. But I'll say this. The reason that we don't talk about politics is because we should talk about the truth of what the Bible says and who God has called us to be to influence our decisions in the political realm. We'll talk about some things, and I think that's more of a place. Like, I'm a very political guy. I get into, like, I ran for office one time. I'm in, but I don't think that this is the place to talk about it, just like I don't think it's the place right here to talk about your education. What are you doing with your education? I don't think it's the place to talk about how I do business, right? I'm not going to come up here and tell you, okay, I use this program and that program, and you should really do this and do that. Those conversations are for individual relationships. And so what I mean by this is that if we are salt in the earth, salt and light of the earth, then by our very presence, we should be influencing those areas. What we do not believe is that you should be passive. So even though we're not going to talk a lot about the practicals or how you should vote or these things, what we are going to say is by encountering the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this should encounter every sphere of your life. And some people, they talk about it as the seven pillars: family, faith, education, government, business, communication, and art. Right? We're not going to get up here and tell you how you should do art. But the Spirit of the Lord should influence you in every aspect that God has called you into. Should Christians be involved in politics? 100%. I'm not going to tell you how, though, because the Lord is the head of the body. And if we are disobeying because it's like, well, Rory didn't talk about who I should vote for, so I'm not going to vote. Guys, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords establishes everyone in leadership. So allow him to speak through you and to be salt and light in order to do this thing, okay? Like, what does that have to do with anything? It's the progression of, as we're getting established in church, we're going out into the world, and we're being salt and light, and that's going to encounter every sphere of influence in your life. And if it doesn't, get into the word. Look upon his face. Host the presence of the Lord when you walk in and start voting. Host the presence of the Lord when you walk in and watch a movie or do art. Worship team, let's come on. I'll invite you guys to stand up. So today, and I know that we went a little longer, but I just want to encourage you guys, let's go ahead and have our ministry team come up. I just want to encourage you today that if you are looking for the faith to walk, as says, Rory, I don't think I can do this. That's scary to me, to be countercultural, to talk about different things at work, to allow the Lord to influence every aspect of my life. And so if you need the faith and the courage to go forth, we'd love to pray for you today. And if you're new and you haven't heard any of this stuff and you want to know about Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to hear the full gospel, we are also up here to do that as well. And we'd love to pray for you. But we're going to enter into a little worship. Give me like 2 minutes, really engage, and then we'll go get pizza or whatever you're doing. So Jesus, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness, God. I thank you that you have established the church, that you have given us these giftings in order to edify the saints to do the work of the ministry. And right now, and guys, if you can just do this with me, just if you feel this and want to say yes, this is an opportunity. And I would just stretch forth your hands like you're receiving a gift. Freely give and freely receive. Jesus, we say yes to the call on our lives to be disciples of the nation. To bring this into our workplace and into our homes and into the grocery store. We say yes to you with whatever you have called us into. We say yes. Would you give us the boldness and the faith to walk this out in the fullness of what you've called us into? In Jesus' name. Come on forth. Let's engage us in worship. If you need prayer, we're here.